If I'm born again, does that mean all my past and future sins are forgiven?
Will people go to heaven even if they never knew the truth?
Whether you have questions about this life or eternal life, we have you covered. I'm Inkosi Plummer.
And I'm Ruben Covarrubias. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk, where you can find answers for life, especially when we're surrounded by so much uncertainty. You know, Ruben, I find it very reassuring that we have the Bible that keeps us grounded in the knowledge of His love.
Absolutely. I can't agree more with that, Inkosi. You know, especially with so much going on, and when you truly study the Bible, there is so much you can gain from doing that. And especially for you, the viewer, if you're watching and you yourself are looking for answers, we want to hear from you and your questions. You can send them in by texting or calling 833-BIBLE-HD. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can message us there as well at Bible Help Desk Show. You can also drop us a message via email. And just a reminder, it's easier for us to contact you back if you have an email address you can leave us. So Inkosi, who are our guests answering our questions today?
Well, today we have Dr. Galina Shteli with us. She works in research and has a doctorate in ministry. She has served as professor at the Sausky Theological Seminary in Russia, an editor and a director of Institute of Missiology. Thank you so much, Dr. Shteli, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Also joining us today is Dr. Stephen Bauer. Dr. Bauer spent a number of years pastoring before his current position as professor of theology and ethics at Southern Adventist University. He also loves to teach and preach Christ, and his great burden is to equip people to live their lives by faith in what God says. Dr. Bauer, it's so exciting to have you here again today answering our questions.
Thank you for having me here.
So today we have a Bible verse from Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. From the New King James Version, it says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." You can rely on God. You can trust in God because his ways are perfect. His ways are for your good. There are some times in my life where I may lose trust, but I have to remember to continue to trust because God's way is perfect. All I have to do is just trust in Him. It's that word, trust. So whatever you're going through in your life, just remember, trust in Him. He will lead you through. You will endure and overcome. Let's pray. Lord Father, we thank you so much for who you are. May we continue to trust in you, for you are the rock. You are our strength, you are our Redeemer, and your ways are perfect. Even as we worship you and talk about these questions, Lord, that people have sent, we just ask, Lord, to hear from you. May you answer through us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into our first question that came to us via text. And it's from Erden, and it says, "When I was born again, I was told that all sins, past, present, and future, were already forgiven, and that I do not have to ask for forgiveness, but only confess my sins and shortcomings to the Father instead. I still ask for forgiveness for fear of offending my Father God." Which is correct? Well, Erden, we hear you here with this fear that you may have of offending God, and you want to do the right thing for your Father God. So I want to turn to you, Dr. Bauer, in this first question, as our friend is asking. He has senses a little bit of fear here that he has, that he's doing the wrong thing. What is correct here when he asks for forgiveness? Does he need to? Does he not have to?
Well, thank you for this very important question. It has some technical aspects, so I'm going to work in kind of two parts here. And I want to start with, you're not going to offend God. He loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So if God is doing all this work to save you, he understands your imperfections in approaching him, and you'll work that out with him as you get to know him. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus specifically commanded us to pray to ask God to forgive us as we forgive others. forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. So if Jesus told us to ask God for forgiveness, that's certainly not wrong to do so. A confession is part of that process. And the purpose is not because God is angry, but in confessing our sins, it helps us take appropriate responsibility so that God can work with us. Instead of making excuses, we come to God and we're honest with what's happened, and then he can forgive us and help us. So there's no problem with asking forgiveness of God as long as we're honest about it and approach him forthrightly this way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is able and just to forgive us our sins. So the condition is confession, in not to make it hard, but to help us enter into the healing process where God can work with us this way. Now, I want to deal with the technicality of this past, present, and future business, because the Bible always talks about forgiving sins that we've committed, but I never find it talking about a blanket coverage of the future, because the future doesn't exist yet. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So God is patient. He wants you to be saved. He's not trying to make it hard to be saved. So we need to keep that in context behind what we're about to get into now. Now, if we go to the same book of the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, we see an example of Peter talking about being cleansed from our past sins. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. The Bible always talks about past sins being forgiven, but it doesn't address the concept of the future because it doesn't exist yet. There's an important problem, theologically speaking, with the idea that God forgives sins before they're even committed. And I can illustrate that, I think, from Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately, Paul is talking to Hebrew believers who are thinking of giving up their faith to avoid persecution, and he's trying to make sure they don't do that. And so he's making an appeal here, and he says, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So this is ongoing, deliberate, rebellious sin. And he says, if we've come to Christ and then we are just, I know what you want, God, but I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to rebel. I'm going to give up on you, etc., then there's no more sacrifice for sin. Well, if those sins of the future are already forgiven, how is it that there's no sacrifice if we're ongoing rebelling against God? So it seems to suggest that a willful rebellion can undo our salvation, and we can be lost if we choose to push it away and willfully reject it. But not as long as we stay with Christ and we're faithful to him, then he covers our sins as we ask forgiveness, and his grace is sufficient. The problem also that Martin Luther encountered was, if we believe God has already forgiven the future sin, it makes it easier to go commit that sin, which is why deliberate sin now becomes more possible. And this is why Tetzel was robbed. They came and said, we need to commit this sin of robbery in the future. Can I get forgiveness for it now? They got their forgiveness now, and then in between towns, they robbed Tetzel. So Luther recognized that the idea of Tetzel, that God can forgive a future sin before you forgive it, actually enables willful sin, which Hebrews 10 says actually takes away the sacrifice of Christ from you. So instead of being so worried about, did I ask the right way or not, just come to God like a small child and ask for forgiveness the way Jesus taught us to, and trust that God loves you and you're not going to offend him. Wow. He loves you.
So powerful. Thank you so much for that. Such insight that you've given us into this question that I'm sure our friend Arden has been able to learn a lot from this answer and how just this relationship with God is, he just wants to be there for us and he has patience for us and he wants that relationship. Thank you so much, Dr. Bauer. Dr. Shtelly, I want to turn to you. Was there anything else you'd like to add here for a friend who asked this question?
It is so precious that this person wants not to offend God and do everything right. I think it's very precious. And I also would like to say that, you know, God, Jesus paid for our sins, but we need to activate this forgiveness so that it could be applied to our lives. And I would like to suggest such an example. For example, when you renew your credit card, every time you need to activate it. The same way, every time that we do something wrong, we need to come to God and activate this forgiveness.
I like that. Activate this forgiveness. And just with that imagery and the imagery that Dr. Bauer gave us and how that relationship with God is so powerful and just like a father, he wants to be there with him. So thank you so much for those answers.
Those answers were so deep, just had me thinking about the heart and just coming to God with your full heart.
Absolutely.
And how sometimes we come to God with bits and pieces and we want to keep parts of our hearts away, but we need to come to God with everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's so powerful. Thank you so much for your answers. And then even talking about coming to God, what about the people that don't know, you know, don't know the truth? And this is our next question. Will people go to heaven even if they didn't ever find out the truth? Dr. Shtelly, what is your take on this?
Well, this is a very interesting but also a difficult question. You know, somebody said that when we come to heaven, we will have several surprises. First surprise will be how the people that I did not expect to be there are there. Then the second surprise will be how comes that people that I expected to be there are not there? And then another surprise, how happened that I am there? And the answer is by the grace of God. And you know, Apostle Paul also dealt with this question. And he explains that there are groups of people in the world that don't know the law. But at the same time, some of them do the right thing because the law of God is written in their hearts. And we read this in chapter 2, letter to Romans. So they are a kind of a law to themselves and they do the things that are right. And because the law of God is written in their hearts because God also is their Father. And he also was concerned with their salvation. Another thing is, you know, there are some people who repented, accepted Jesus, but maybe they did not live long to fulfill everything in their life, to have all the truth and to do the right things according to the truth. And such an example is a criminal on the cross. And I would like to read this passage from Gospel of Luke 23:39-43. You know that there were two criminals, but the response to this grace of God was different. Let us read that. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." You know, there will be people that we maybe did not expect to see there, but they will be there by the grace of God.
Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Shtelly. Dr. Bauer, do you have anything to add to that?
I thank her for her answer as well. And I just want to add two quick things. In John 1, verse 9, John says that Jesus is the light that was coming into the world that gives light to every human. Not all get the same amount of light, but all get some kind of light. And so in Romans 1, the Gentiles get light from God through nature around verses 18 to 24 or so. And then in Romans 2, the Jew got light from God through the law, but they both violated that light and rebelled against God and are both guilty. So in Romans 2 then, the Gentile who responds to the little bit of light that God gives him in faith and trust, he may never have heard of Jesus, but the little bit of light he got, he responds positively to. Paul seems to indicate that he's justified, but he does not have the advantage of the Christian believer, because in verse 15, his thoughts accuse and excuse him. He doesn't have that assurance that comes when you know Christ. But God does respond to those who respond to whatever the light they receive. I believe that that surrendered heart will be saved.
Amen. And thank you for mentioning the light in a surrendered heart. Sometimes I think about God and he's just like looking at us from the beginning of time, you know, and in his grace and mercy, you know, sometimes God blinks.
Well, you know, there's so much that we've been covering so far. Mm-hmm. And as you can see in Cozy, we could probably go even further into these questions. I want to remind our viewers, if you want to dig more into God's Word, we have a Bible study resource site just for you at hope.study. There you can find Bible studies for various topics with new ones constantly being added. If you prefer to receive paper Bible studies by mail or even in person, just give us a call and leave us your address. We'll be right back with more questions and answers after these messages, so don't go away.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is here to answer your questions from the Bible. If you have a question, go ahead and text us at 833-BIBLE-HD or call it in and leave us a voicemail. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
Well, today, our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Stephen Bauer and Dr. Galina Steele. So, in Cozy, let's go ahead and jump into our next question.
Yes, we have a question from Baraka. Why did Adam and Eve not die instantly? Dr. Bauer, what do you have to this question?
Thank you. That's a very important question. And a simple point would be if they died instantly, there would be no way for them to repent and be saved. Wow. And so God has to give some space if he's going to be a loving God and follow his plan of salvation for them to repent and so forth. I would say this, God could be lazy and just let sin burn itself out by natural consequences, and eventually it would implode on itself and self-destruct. But he doesn't do that. He's concerned about issues of justice and righteousness and fairness and so forth. And so he reserves the right to end things on his terms in a judgment setting where evidence is presented and he can make a fair and righteous decision and restore unrightable wrongs. And this is why we have the judgment with books in Daniel 7 and 8 and the judgment at the end of Revelation. And Jesus talks about judgment when he comes and so forth, that final day of judgment, so that things can be properly done and not just a vengeful zap, it's over and there's no hope of salvation. So instant death means no salvation, but God doesn't want that. But he does have a process of accountability to bring sin to an end in a fair, just, and legal way that gives us all a chance to repent because he loves us so much.
Amen. Praise God for that incredible plan of salvation. I just see Jesus looking at the papers and just like, is there a way? What is the way? And he's just like, myself, you know? So I just praise God for the sacrifice. I know, Dr. Steli, do you have a answer to this question?
Yeah, I also would like to add that, you know, God created this plan of salvation, of redemption from the beginning, even before creation of our world. And so he wanted to apply it to everyone, not just to people after Adam and Eve, or if they die instantly, there would be no human race. So to whom to apply the plan of salvation? So it should be applied to everyone, including Adam and Eve. That's why he gives them this time. Another thing is that dying is not always an instant case. So the process of dying had started at that moment. So it was activated because God's words are always true. So they start dying from that moment. But we also know that God is not bound by the time in our categories. We know that sometimes we use in the Bible prophetic, you know, time, days. So one day is a thousand years for him. So we know that Adam died within this 1,000 years, right? So, but the most important thing is that God wanted to save them and give them a chance of repentance and salvation.
Amen. Death was introduced because of sin. Mm. But I praise God for the verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Absolutely.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Amen. And it's always good to see how these questions point us back to who Jesus was and his plan for salvation. Yeah. Well, let's go into our next question that came to us from Dimitri. And it says, what is righteousness by faith? Very straightforward question, a phrase that I know I've heard a lot myself and have dived into a little bit. But I want to turn to you, Dr. Bauer, on this straightforward question on is, Dimitri's asking, what is righteousness by faith? What can we tell him?
On the one hand, righteousness by faith is simple enough for a child to understand, and it's complex enough to keep us studying for eternity. I'm going to try to go for the more simple side for the sake of this program. Righteousness by faith, in my estimation, consists of two dimensions. The classic dimension that we all recognize is what we call justification. We find that exemplified in Galatians chapter 3, especially verse 11. I'm going to read 10 for a little bit of context. For all who rely on the works of the law, let me take a quick time out. They're relying on works of the law to get right with God, to get into right standing with God. And so that's what we call justification. So the context here is, how do we get into right standing with God? So let me start again now. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to do them. So if you want to earn your way to heaven, you can never sin. You have to be perfect, obedient to the law. And all of us have broken God's law, so that clearly is not going to be the way we get right with God. So we get to verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For, and now he quotes Habakkuk chapter 2, the righteous shall live by faith. And Martin Luther made that phrase, the just or righteous who live by faith, very famous, focusing on justification. So how do we get forgiveness and good standing and righteous standing before God? We trust by faith the atoning merits of Jesus Christ. That's stage one. Hebrews, however, uses the same Habakkuk quote for a different purpose related to this. These people are about to give up their faith on Jesus, and the author of Hebrews is trying to get them not to give up. And it's in this context that he tells them to persevere and caps it off. And let me get there myself now to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So endurance is dealing with the ongoing walk with God, not how we get right, but how we stay right. So a lot of theologians call this sanctification. And now we continue in verse 37, and he quotes more of Habakkuk here. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. In other words, Jesus is coming soon. You can hang on till he gets here. And then he continues quoting Habakkuk. Now the righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back, but of those who have faith and keep their soul. So Paul here, I'm accepting Paul as the author of Hebrews. I know that's disputed some, but whoever wrote Hebrews here is saying to the Hebrews that they persevere by faith. In other words, they're depending that God will fulfill his promise, that he will come and therefore they can hang on till he gets here and not renounce their faith in Jesus. And out of that then comes the idea that we rely upon God for lifestyle choices. And Hebrews 11, the whole chapter is about that. Noah builds an ark by faith. Hasn't rained, doesn't make sense, but I trust God's promise. Therefore, I'm going to make the effort to build. Abraham leaves Ur, not knowing where he's going, because God made a promise. So every person in Hebrews 11 makes a lifestyle choice to do something, not because they feel able, but because God promised something. So the punchline then is this for me. God promised I'm a new creature. I don't have to feel like a new creature in order to live like a new creature. I live as a new creature depending on God to supply the power, not because I feel like I'm a new creature. So I receive forgiveness by faith, but then I live out God's will by faith that God will enable and empower me. It's not me trying hard and hoping God assists me. No, it's me stepping out on the promise I'm a new creature and trusting God will empower and enable. So two pieces, I receive by faith, but I live out by faith depending on God and not my own feelings and my own abilities and my own perceptions.
Wow. So powerful. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Bauer. As we can see, there's so much that we can go into. So we want to thank you so much for diving into that for us today, Dr. Bauer, and Dr. Shelley for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Shelley and Dr. Bauer. We appreciate your answers to these questions. And we also want to thank you guys, the viewers, for watching and sending in your questions. Remember to text, call, or leave a voicemail. You can also find us on Facebook or Instagram. And we also want to encourage you to check out our webpage at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. And also our YouTube account, where you can see answers to previously asked questions. You guys, take care and tune in next time.
Thank you. God bless.